Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brad, with my SEC Mike on the Twitters, and we're back with the hat for our weekly SEC power rankings of the quarterbacks. Been enjoying this show, been enjoying the engagement, so let's get into it. Only criteria, pretty much just the eye test for me, because hey, we're only a few games in here, but these are the best quarterbacks, in my opinion, in the SEC after 3 weeks. It's been tough to move these guys up and down. I think this week will go a long way to determining who's elite and who's not. But I think we found that out about two quarterbacks on this list. So let's get into it. Number 16, no surprise. I'd put him lower if I could. Shout out DJ Lagway, number one in the SEC in interceptions. Going the wrong way, of course, by multiple. No quarterback in the SEC has five, except for DJ, who's got six. So DJ, quite frankly, he's not been playing well all season. That even if you go back and watch Long Island, he didn't play that well in that game. Totally derailed Florida's chances against LSU. So I think it's only fair. You got to put DJ where he is, not the hype, but where he's actually performed this year. I'm putting him dead last. All right, number 15, new guy on the scene. But we don't honor much of what you do against Eastern Michigan. Come on, Cutter Bowley. Looking decent. Roush was all fired up about him. I guess he's got a very high yards per attempt, whatever. But, Cutter. I mean, hell, I think this guy's better than Calzada. I'll give him that. So we're on a bye. You're not going to move up on a bye, Cutter. But maybe if you can go out there and smoke South Carolina, who could be coming off two consecutive losses, maybe we move you up this list. I think there's hope for Kentucky now that they got Cutter in there. That's about as optimistic of a take as you're going to get from me from old Kentucky. All right, number 14, probably too high on this list. Number one in our hearts, Arch Manning. Again, this is not to pile on old Arch, but I mean, he's not that guy, at least not yet. He could be. But, I'm trying to look up the statistics here. He's dead last in damn near every meaningful category. And this is not the Arch Manning we thought we were getting. I'll give him credit. He's seventh in touchdown passes. Good for Arch. But again, seventh, that's below average. 13th in the SEC in passing yards, 13 in rating, 13 in yards per attempt, 14th in interceptions, and 15th in completion percentage. So maybe 14 is too high for Arch. I don't know. Let me know what you think. But maybe I'm overrating Arch like so many did this offseason. Shout out Steven Lassen. Oh, buddy. Trace says, well, not the Arch Steven thought. That is for sure. But I don't want to pile on, and I don't want to waste any more time on a guy that is that low in the rankings. Shout out, man, very disappointed in this quarterback to date. I thought he'd be, hell, I had him number one after the first week, but he is falling like a rock. Number 13, Lenoris Sellers. He's way down there, too. He's only thrown two passing touchdowns. He's only got the one rushing, which was, I believe, the first possession of the first game against Virginia Tech, and I said, by God, this guy is him. Well, him not playing well now. So, again, he's banged up. We're not making fun of injuries. I think he's going to play this weekend. But, maybe Trace, we need to go back to calling him Goggles, because maybe he needs to go back to the Goggles, because whatever he's doing is not working. Now, maybe he flips that switch against Missouri, and if he does, he'll fly up these quarterback rankings. But I think the offensive line's holding him back. I think his receivers are not helping, and I certainly think the offensive coordinator is not helping as well. So this is a tough spot for the Gamecocks. Season on the line, perhaps, Saturday night in Columbia, Missouri. But you also got a banged-up quarterback, so how much can he realistically do? Tough spot. Hey, this guy's only done it for 1 week, but I was very impressed. We got to give this guy credit. Shout out number 12 on the list, Trinidad Chambliss, went up and down the field on Arkansas. Arkansas's defense is awful, but we're still going to give credit where credit's due. They forced Trinidad to beat him, and you know what? He said, well, hell, I'll go out there and beat you. So I expect Trinidad's going to play against Tulane, and I think he'll have a lot of the same success that he had against Arkansas. That's just the Lane Kiffin way down there. They know what they're doing when it comes to offensive football, and they know what they're doing when it comes to the quarterbacks especially. So shout out Trinidad. I think he could be a lot higher on this list come next week, if he's even the quarterback. It could be Austin Simmons, but I ain't buying it. I think it's Trinidad's show until Austin Simmons is closer to 100%. He looked like he was about 50% last week. So, Well, Too Slick saying apparently Austin Simmons. Well, that's what Kiffin's saying, but I don't believe any word, anything out of that damn guy's mouth. He's a liar. All right, number 11. This is probably too low for this guy, but now it really gets difficult because I think we got 11, 12 good quarterbacks right now in this conference. Jackson Arnold, number 11, hell of a runner, maybe the best runner among the quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference to date in the 2025 season, but he's got a ways to come as a passer. And man, I think this is a man who he's got more on the line than anybody in the Southeastern Conference this weekend going to Norman. Oklahoma fans are mocking him all week. Well, they may regret it come Saturday night. I think Jackson Arnold, you know, he may very well win this damn game, and then we'll see what those Sooners have to say about him. So Jackson Arnold, number 11, I feel like even that's too low for him. He's having a good year. Could be a great year if he beats Oklahoma. Could be a nightmare year if he gets smoked by Oklahoma. So I don't know. He's going to go up or he's going to go down, I think. Based off this week. Number 10, never would have thought this guy was this low, but I think it's fair. Garrett Nussmeier, not looking fabulous, not looking like this number one pick they told us that he was going to be. Now, he's injured, offensive line's not helping him, receivers not helping him, running game certainly not helping him, but I don't know. I'm just not seeing it from Garrett Nussmeier this year. I hope he gets healthy. I wouldn't even play him this week against Southeast Louisiana. I really wouldn't. I'd rest him up for that massive game against Ole Miss coming up here soon. But give me Garrett Nussmeier, number 10, and I may be overrating him. You can make an argument he should be below Jackson Arnold. You can make an argument he should be below old Trinidad. But none of those guys have a win on the road against Clemson, which, hell, that may not even be that good of a win. But, this is experience. And just being he really is like an offensive coordinator on the field. So he gets bonus points for that, if that makes sense. All right, how about number 9? Kind of a ho-hum performance last week. Not going to give you a ton of credit for smoking Alcorn State. But Blake Shapen looked like $1 million against Arizona State. Hell, he's looked like $1 million this entire season. So I'm giving him his respect. Number 9, Blake Shapen. Again, this week, not going to really move the needle for me, but let's see how he does against Tennessee's defense, which is looking like a leaky D, as Shane would say it. So Blake Shapen's got a lot on the line here coming up, but I feel like number 8 is a fair ranking for one of the biggest surprises in the conference right now. Speaking of surprises, they ain't going to like this, but I think it's fair. Give me Marcel Reed, number 8. And you can make an argument he deserves to be higher. He's number 2 in the SEC in passing touchdowns with 9. He's number 3 in the SEC in passing yards with 869. This is not a knock on Marcel. This is more, we've got some outstanding quarterbacks this season in the SEC. Give me Marcel Reed, number 8. He's having a hell of a year. He's proven a lot of these doubters wrong. Game-winning touchdown drive. That's about as impressive as anything we've seen this year. But I do think his numbers are slightly inflated. The completion percentage is not great. He's got outstanding receivers that are getting yards after catch. Now, it's not to take away from Marcel Reed, but hell, even Mike Elko yesterday, I was on the teleconference when he was saying he needs to do a lot better job pushing the ball down the field accurately. So that is still something in Marcel Reed's game that is that there's room for improvement there. So again, I'm nitpicking here. He's a terrific runner. I'm thankful that he's not leading A&M in rushing anymore. I don't want to see him. I want to see him on the field. We got to limit the hits. But Marcel Reed, I got you number 8, and you could easily argue he should be a little bit higher, as you could with this guy. How about Ty Simpson? Number 7. Number 1 in passer rating. Number 2 in passing yards per attempt. Number 2 in touchdowns, tied with Marcel Reed. And number 3 in completion percentage. He's playing like $1 million. Now, the competition's been lacking, so, you know, I docked him a little bit there for, again, we'll get a better read on him in Athens. He may crumble come that game. He really could. So I'm giving him respect. If you're not watching Alabama, and I don't blame you if you haven't, because they look like dog shit against old Florida State. Maybe you just tune them out. I thought he even played well in that game. Not great. But he's looked better and better each week. So I'm giving Ty Simpson some respect. And he's an underrated runner, too. He can escape the pocket, make guys miss down the field. Really good performance thus far for Ty Simpson, who him and Marcel, I think, probably the two biggest question marks, maybe is the right word, or doubters. The rest of you, all you, and you know who you are. If you weren't an A&M fan, you said Marcel Reed. A&M's going nowhere with him. And all you anti-Bama people said the same exact thing about Ty Simpson. And at least after 3 weeks of play, those guys are proving all the doubters wrong. So I'm giving respect to number 7, Ty Simpson. Number 6, Diego Pavia. Here's another guy. Gets mocked for his age. Well, who cares how old he is? He's number 2 in completion percentage in the conference. Number 3 in passer rating. Number 5 in passing yards per attempt. And he went on the road and smoked South Carolina's ass. So, Diego, I'm giving him respect that he deserves. I don't care if he's 48 years old. He is playing at an elite level right now. He is making the Vanderbilt Commodores a dangerous team, and his numbers are going to look better and better and better here in with the next couple weeks, and then we'll see what he looks like against old Alabama. But I think Diego is having a great year, and people are not putting the respect on his name there. So, Dustin, Mike, weren't you one of the Bama doubters? No, I picked Bama to win the SEC, so you might be new here, Dustin, but Bama was my preseason pick, not anymore. They're my pick. I think you could change based on what we've seen, but no, not a doubter. Not a doubter in Bama. All right, number 5. Now we're getting into the best of the best. Come on. This guy proved me wrong. I thought he was going to be average as hell. He's looked like $1 million. Give me old Joey Swagular. Number 5 quarterback in the SEC. Number 2 in passing yards. Number 2 in passing touchdowns, tied with Marcel and Ty. Number 4 in pass yards per attempt. Number 5 in passer rating. I mean, he's all over the place. He has elevated Tennessee's football offense. He looks a hell of a lot better than the last couple quarterbacks they've had. And he is, to me, probably the biggest surprise in the conference this season. Now, in fairness, I just got done rewatching. It was tough to do, but I got done rewatching Georgia-Tennessee. And I don't say this to critique him necessarily, but the first touchdown to Brazel, it was pretty bad underthrown. And that was the one Georgia got an interference because the receiver, Brazel, he had to essentially stop his route, come back to catch the ball. So, again, I'm trying to find, like, ways to pick apart these guys because they're all good at the top. And then the third quarter one where it was just an amazing Brazel, who he may have interfered. But he went damn Randy Moss on dude. And again, should Joey Aguilar get all the credit? No, I think that was mostly Chris Brazel on that second one. So again, he's pushing the ball down the field and he's doing it accurately. Something the last couple quarterbacks could not do at Tennessee. He's got a couple picks. The one to Staley, where Staley fell down, is not on him. So he's got room for improvement. He did have the arm punt against Georgia. I didn't love that, but again, it's an arm punt. They were going to punt regardless. So give me Swagular, number 5 in the SEC. Number 4, this guy actually fell And he didn't do anything to deserve falling. It was more someone surpassed him. Give me Bo Prabula, number one completion percentage in the SEC, number four passer rating. He's a weapon on the ground, three rushing touchdowns, seven passing touchdowns, 791 yards. He looks like $1 million. So him and Swagular, the two brightest surprises, good surprises, if you will, out of the quarterback position in the Southeastern Conference. But I'm still a little bit wait and see with him. A little bit. Because I don't know how good Kansas is. And hell, all the Missouri people will tell you Kansas is dog shit. So you can't say they're dog shit. And we look like $1 million against them. And therefore, we're elite. No, I think we're going to learn a lot more about him this weekend. South Carolina's a lot better defense than old Kansas. So I got faith in old Bo. But I think we're going to have to see Bo win it with his arm this week. Because I think the game plan for Carolina is going to be to limit Ahmad Hardy. Now, that's probably the game plan for everybody, and no one's been able to do it. So it's easier said than done. But I think Bo's going to have to win him this game this weekend. All right, number three, his biggest riser in the rankings this week. I'm giving this man the respect that we did not give him the first couple weeks. And that's Gunner. Gunner stacked in number three, clutch as hell, 4th and 6, touchdown to London Humphreys. Best throw of the season, in my opinion, to date. He made the 2-point play. He's clutch. I mean, he's answered the bell being down 7-0 against Tennessee in a stadium that was about ready to explode. He answered the challenge down 21-7. I mean, how many quarterbacks would have survived kneeling on Saturday in the way there it was rocking? I don't think many. So Gunner right now, we got to give him his love, his respect. 7 touchdowns, doesn't have a turnover on the season. I think Gunner, hell of a quarterback, and he raises the potential for Georgia, which was already sky high. But now Georgia, I think, can win the national championship. Now that we've seen this out of Gunner, they invested in the weapons, and it's paying off for them dogs. All right, number two. John Mateer, come on. Money Mateer, number one passing yards in the SEC. Maybe a little too much interceptions for me with the three, but 5 passing touchdowns, 4 rushing. He's, I believe, the Heisman front runner now, which, again, I don't really honor that, but that should tell you how well he's winning people over with just his performance on the field. And this will be quite possibly his toughest test to date this weekend, playing Auburn. Auburn undefeated. Game of the week in the Southeastern Conference. If Oklahoma wins it, it's going to be because of John Mateer. And quite frankly, if they lose it, it'll probably be because of John Mateer. So the pressure is on him week in, week out. He's delivered up to this point. He looks like $1 million. You want to put Mateer number one, I won't even argue you, because there's no really argument to have him against him being number one, other than Taylen Green is looking like $1 million. And for my money, I think he's the best player in college football this year. It's not his fault. His receiver fumbled with the game on the line. Hell, he hit him. He leads the SEC in passing touchdowns. He's top 10 in, I think he's like number 6 in the rushing in the SEC with 307. It's a damn shame Arkansas didn't have a defense, because more people would be watching Taylen Green late into the season, perhaps even in the college football playoff, if they had any semblance of a defense. But I think he's going to be fun all season. And there's a very, 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 very minimal difference, in my opinion, between Taylen Green and John Mateer. But give me Taylen for now. And if John Mateer goes out and lights up Auburn's defense, which very well could. Auburn's not great against the pass, but they do have a good front. And this is, I don't even care. Michigan may be the 11-1 team. I don't have respect for teams outside of this conference. So let's see them do it against the Southeastern Conference. That's how you gain my respect on this show. So yeah, give me Taylen, number one, and give me JR, number one cousin. We were doing our rankings. Shout out the legend, JR gifted a membership.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
We appreciate you, JR. I'm trying to figure out who you gifted to here. Maybe someone can help me out. That was a while ago. But someone look that up for me if you don't mind. This is when it's bad to not have Cousin Shane on the show. And we also had Patrick Wade. Patrick.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. We appreciate you, Patrick, for joining the family. Carson Beck is currently the Heisman favorite. Okay, well, will he be after this weekend? I don't know. I don't know. We'll be back later tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, to make our predictions. I don't want to ruin anything. Yeah, this is out there, so this is going to be pretty interesting. On Tuesday, they reportedly will be announcing the three permanent rivals for each SEC team as the SEC goes to 9-game conference schedule next season. So we will certainly be going live and breaking that down when that happens. It's going to be very interesting to see. Hey, Rob, we appreciate you. Rob just became a member.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family, Rob. We appreciate you. Man, I'm fired up, though. I'm fired up for this weekend. I think it's going to be, whenever it looks like it's not a great slate of games, that's when we get some tricky ones here. I really do think that the five marquee games on paper, Auburn at Oklahoma, South Carolina at Missouri, Florida at Miami, Arkansas, Memphis, and Tulane, Ole Miss, I think all these are going to be one-score games. I really do. And I've already, I'm not going to tell you which one. You're going to have to tune in for that. But I'm already picking one outright upset, maybe two. So there's going to be some upsets this weekend. Hell, I was 11-1 last week. I'm about to go, hopefully, 10-0 this week. But what if it's Texas? As Bill says, Sam Houston will be closer than expected. That may be the one. That may be the one, Bill, that I have my eye on to be the upset. Who knows? If old Arch doesn't clean this shit up, hell, we may have to bench Arch Manning. How crazy is that? We may have to do it. Could you imagine if we had to bench old Arch after Sam Houston? I mean, that would be hilarious, wouldn't it? I'll tell you this, and I think I can get him too. I never asked him to come on the show because he's a busy guy. But if Arch Manning gets benched, I will make the call to Paul Feinbaum and get him on this show live to get his thoughts on Arch getting benched. So I'll make a promise to that because I don't think Arch is getting benched. But if it happens, I will reach out. And we'll see. We'll see what's up. any other questions here? I'm trying to stretch this to 30 minutes here. I think I went a little too quick. But any questions? Brian Kelly? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think we're getting old Brian Kelly. Unless he wants to come on here and berate us. That would be kind of entertaining. Hypo would take Arch over Aguilar right now. I don't think so. Who in the hell would take Arch right now? Who in the hell would take this right now? Have you watched him this year? Have you watched Joey Swagular? I mean, that's the stupidest comment I've seen in the comments today. So, no one would take that. That'd be like saying you would take Trevor Lawrence over Josh Allen. Hell no, you wouldn't. That's stupid. No one would do that. No one would do that. You know what? Bert wouldn't do that. Bert sure as hell wouldn't do that. Shout out Bert, because he's got himself a quarterback. Better one than old Arch.
Welcome to the family.
Bert, we appreciate you. Welcome to the family. Thanks for coming in. Man, what a year it's going to be for A&M. You know what? I tried to tell him. College football playoff. College football playoff. I think that's where A&M's going. Feinbaum may be benched if Arch is. I might tell him that. Do you think Bo gets exposed this weekend? No, I don't. I don't think he's going to get exposed. I think we've seen enough from Bo to know he is legit, and he might very well be the best quarterback. Remember, he's three games into his starting career. What's he going to look like when he's, you know, eight games in, nine games in? He's just getting better and better. So, no, I don't think he gets exposed, but we can't crown his ass for beating Louisiana and Central Arkansas and shitty Kansas, you know? We can't do that. Can't do that either. Arch was hyped by the media. I think that's fair. But also, Sarkisian. Sarkisian hyped his ass up, didn't he? Jason, you still on the Sooners bandwagon? I don't know. Have you watched the show ever before? I feel like maybe you haven't, if you're asking these kinds of questions. Nico, coming to say Florida. I don't think Florida would take old Nico. I really don't. I'd rather have, I know DJ's number 16 in the power rankings. I'd rather have DJ than Nico, honestly. Arch is the biggest bust since Ryan. It's too early to write him off. Hell, what did I just say about Bo? He's three games into his starting career. Arch is three games. Same deal. I know he started two, so really he's five games into his starting career. We can't write Arch off yet. That's silliness. That's your Oklahoma coming out. You know, we try to be unbiased here as much as we can. Would you rather have Arch or Nico? Be honest. Give me Arch. Arch, for sure. But that is a tough question. Because I know Nico gets a lot of hate. I don't think he's that bad either. I think he's got some potential. Nico would be behind some backups. why does everybody hate Mizzou? Says Ethan. Everybody hates their team. Even us, who we literally dedicate our lives to covering these teams, but apparently we hate them too. Like, how much sense? People just don't care about Missouri. They don't hate them. There's not a Tennessee fan that sits around thinking about Missouri. And I don't even think there's South Carolina fans. You know, there's none of these fans. They just don't care about you. There's a difference between hating you and not caring. And I don't think people care. I really don't. I don't know why Missouri fans have this chip on their shoulder, but it's working for them. I did see a statistic. It was pretty cool. In the last 30 games, Missouri, I think, is like number six overall record of any team, not SEC, the nation. So just keep doing what you're doing. Who gives a shit what people think? But I do give a shit with Zio. ZOV says he gifted a membership to Dia Dia. Dia Dia, welcome to the family. Hopefully you're not a Missouri fan after all that.
Welcome to the family.
yeah, even old Mace is warming up to old Drink. Drink's one of the best coaches in the SEC. I think he's number one right now for like best personality too, which that doesn't mean anything on the field. It means a hell of a lot if you're doing a program like this. So I wish we had 16 Drinks out there talking shit, running their mouth. I love it. He's like the closest thing we have to Spurrier. And hell, his record is starting to look like Steve Spurrier. So it's getting pretty good.
You're just getting some Sooner hate from you.
Well, let's see. John Mateer, I said he'd be better than Arch. Check. I picked Sooners to win every game. Check. John Mateer, number two in the... you want me to... How can I kiss the Sooners' ass anymore? I mean, what more can we do from you here, Jason? I mean, Jesus. All right, any other questions? Unless some better questions. Drink gets a lifetime contract after this season. Perhaps. Drink stands on business. I think he's going to be a popular candidate if that Florida job opens up, if and when it does. I'm just saying. I think he will be a candidate. Would he stay at Missouri? Well, I think we're in a unique era, you know, where I can't remember who it was, but it was one of you cousins on this show said, you know, Kiffin will leave Ole Miss for Florida, better brand. I I don't know that that matters anymore. It really doesn't. NIL, if you don't have your ducks in a row, Missouri's got their shit figured out. They're building facilities, the stadium. And yeah, I mean, it would be laughable to say Missouri's a better job than Florida like 5 years ago, but who's more invested in NIL? Who's winning on the field? Who's winning in the Southeastern Conference? Who is developing quarterbacks? Who, you know, seems to have their shit together? And their fans are passionate. Florida fans, I mean, they're great fans too, but they love you or they hate you. I don't know that there is a middle ground there with many Florida fans. If I'm Drake and I'm weighing the two jobs, he's already making like $9 million, right? Something like that at Missouri. What is Florida going to offer him? Is Florida going to offer him 15 million? I doubt it. They're probably going to offer him 10 or 11, you know? And I would think Missouri, if presented that information, if Drake said, hey, I just got offered $11 million a year, they'd say, well, here's you 11-5. Stay our coach. And I think he'd stay. So I don't know that he would run to Florida or anything like that. But I do think he will be a candidate. I do think that. J.D. and Courtney Miller. How many Sooners missing after Saturday when that war damn Eagle beat them at home? That's another thing. Oklahoma's beat up. Very beat up, apparently, particularly on the offensive line. Now, I hear all their guys that were on the depth chart or the injury availability, whatever the hell Kiffin wants to call it, all the guys that were banged up on the injury report, they were practicing. So, and I'm just talking about offensive linemen here. So I think those guys are going to play, but it is interesting because that's something that is being, I don't know, completely overlooked. Hell, I watched Oklahoma last year. Offensive line was a huge issue. And it was early in this season, too. Now, they seem to have it corrected. But if you got, you know, captain out for the year, now you got, what, four guys on the injury report. What if they can't go? John Mateer might be the best player in the country. If you can't protect him, it doesn't mean shit. It means he could get, you know, really beaten up against Auburn, like you're saying here. So Auburn's got one of the best defensive linemen in the country, too. So, and not just one of them. They got a plenty of good front seven players. So if Oklahoma's banged up on the offensive line, that's a huge advantage to Auburn. I think this could be a much more low-scoring game than people are anticipating. All right, I think I'm running out of words here. Again, I got to make my picks here for the weekend. I haven't made them yet. So I'm going to get one last one here. Appreciate you, Parker. Is Florida's job any less attractive with Miami and FSU looking better? No, I don't think so. Because, there's so many players down there. You're in the SEC. Florida, better job than Miami or Florida State. I don't care. They could be each 12-0. Florida's still an attractive job. They barely play Miami, and I know they play Florida State, but Florida State trying to sue to get out of the ACC, that's not going to end well for anybody down there at Florida State, I really don't think. All right, so that's the end of the quarterback rankings. We'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, to make our predictions with Cousin Shane. So stay locked in. Appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll be back here in a couple hours. Bye-bye.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.